What I want to talk about today in this very short message is where do you go when bad stuff happens to you? Where do you go to find relief? Where should you and I go to find the solution to real problems? I know those people that had their houses burned down, you know, and one or two of them we know, but that's a problem. There are real problems in the world. Where do you go if you want relief? So I'm going to talk about that today. The one sure place, I want to read this from my notes, one sure place that I know of, which always works if you're a true believer, is God's Word. You go to God's Word. You find out what God said they, Father and Son, would do to help us who need assistance almost all the time. So for the first scripture, let's go to Philippians 4. We'll go to Philippians 4 and read verse 6. It's pretty simple, but I'm going to explain it also. Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, 6 says, "Do not be anxious or nervous or, you know, worried about anything, but in every situation that comes up in your life or my life, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." So I wrote down on my notes 1, 2, and 3. There are three things that the Apostle Paul wrote down. Paul gives three required steps. Number one, pray first. Talk to God about whatever the situation is that you're in, whatever is bothering you or confusing you. And then petition. Now, what's petition mean? You know, have you ever signed a petition? I remember 50 years ago, 60 years ago when I voted, you know, I'd sign petitions. I want this, that, and the other thing, you know. So what's a petition? It's a request. It's a request done in a proper way. It says, petition God. But before you talk to God about it, you got to go over it slowly, what God is telling you to do. If you're going to ask him to do something, then find out what it is that he wants you to do. And then ask for what you really, really want. And then finally, and this one will kind of fool you a little bit, thank God. Thank God. What do you thank him for? Here you're asking, you're petitioning, you're praying, you're doing all this stuff, and then you thank him. What do you thank God for? If you don't have anything to thank God for, you're in the wrong group. If you can't think of anything to thank God for in advance of your petition, where you're going to ask him for something, then you're in the wrong place. Don't you believe that God fulfills those requests, those expectations, those askings? Okay, and then I want to read verse 7. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in or through Christ Jesus." I like that. Do you know the peace of God? I mean, we should know the peace of God, but do you know the peace of God? God's peace feels good. I want to go to the next verse, James 1:17. If you would like to turn to James 1:17. My Bible almost flips there automatically. But just in case it doesn't, I wrote it also on my notes. James 1:17. "Every good and perfect gift is from above." Above where? Above the ceiling? No, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. God created the sun and the moon and the stars. Those are the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Hard to say. Say it quickly. Shifting shadows. It's a metaphor. It's a metaphor, right? Well, what are we talking about? Shifting shadows. Well, sometimes when I'm watching TV, I do watch TV, and late in the afternoon, they got the news on, and the way our room with the TV sits, sometimes the sun comes through the window, and it gets in my eyes, and I think, ah, wow, it's a bird flying over. And no, well, maybe it was a bird, but those things that I see are shifting shadows. But James is using that metaphor because he wants to compare and contrast. God's not a shadow. He doesn't change. God doesn't go this way today and that way tomorrow. We do. And Satan does, but God doesn't. If he says he loves you or me or any of us, if God says he loves us, then God loves us. Can you rest in that peace? I mean, can you feel the peace if he says that? Do you trust God enough? So now we're moving right along. Let's go to Romans 8:28. Because I want to mention that, I'm saying all these things. God wants to do this, he wants to do that, he wants to make us happy. But God expects something in return. And I think if we go to Romans 8:28, we'll see one of the things that God wants. Or let me read it first and then I'll explain. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Okay, so far so good, right? Okay. And who have been called according to his purpose. Now, I wanted to change that a little bit. I like to use the plural, who love them, because it's the Father and the Son. When we talk about God, we're talking about the Father and the Son. So I want to use the plural. And they are a very dynamic duo too. So what's the thing that God, those two beings, what do they want? And the answer is easy. We must be, and I'm going to express it this way, and then I'll prove it to a certain extent. We must be called and chosen and remain faithful. Let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29, and I'll read one scripture in Jeremiah 29 because it says almost the same thing that I've read already. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And here, the prophet is recording what the Eternal had told him. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Eternal. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And when God says he wants to give us good things, that's exactly what he means. So when bad stuff happens, and it assuredly will, at times, anyway, sadly. Remember Philippians 4:6. And I'm going to give you, just before I sit down, my somewhat loose translation of Philippians 4:6. Don't get all flustered and worried when things don't go right. Instead, talk to our Heavenly Father and His Son about what is going on. And then ask both the Father and the Son for what you really need. So don't forget to thank them always in advance for what they've already given to you, and you expect that they will give again.